Okay, cool. We are good to go. We are live. We are recording. Hope you guys are having a great Monday. Being very brave today by deciding to jump on here and talk to you guys and record this because my throat is still a little scratchy, a little bit of a cough. Obviously, if you're a client of mine, you know I have been having to do like a lot of really short voice message check-ins or do even typing out check-in responses last week because of my voice, which is just crazy. When something like this happens, I realize just how much I use my voice with what I do with my coaching. Like, I send voice messages all the time to clients throughout the day. I obviously do their check-in responses, which a lot of times are either voice or a lot of times even like video responses. And then I do obviously these podcast recordings, Facebook Lives and things for you guys. And then when my voice gets shot, whether it's a sore throat or a cough, I'm like, man, it's really hard to like do everything because it's a lot to type out. And obviously, like if I'm going live and talking about something to you guys on here, I can't like, I can type out the information, but can't actually physically go live. So we are going to hopefully be able to get through most of this without coughing at all. But I have like a big list of honestly like really good topics that are going to be coming for, you know, future lives, future podcast recordings and things. Which will be really exciting. Sorry, there's a first cough. So, you know, I was bouncing around between like what topics I want to talk about today. But I want to do a little bit of a fun one today and talk about five fitness takes that I've changed my mind on through my years of coaching. So I've been in my own fitness journey, like religiously studying this kind of stuff since pretty much, I mean, I would say seriously since like 2013. I was like researching things on my own even throughout high school regarding building muscle and body composition, fat loss. With me being like an overweight kid growing up, I was really interested in that kind of stuff of how to like get myself in better shape, honestly, for like, you know, the good or wrong reasons. But it was really like after my freshman year of college where I really turned things up a notch and I really became just like so interested in this kind of stuff and almost like obsessed about like, okay, how do I improve my body composition? How do I lose body fat? How do I build muscle? How do I gain strength? Just everything regarding this. So it was like 2013. So it's been 10 years of that. And then I've been coaching individuals for, which is really crazy to kind of say, but for pretty much 6 years in some capacity. I took on my first client, I believe it was 2017. It was a friend from high school. She had just seen like my educational stuff that I was posting online. I wasn't even like trying to like get clients at the time. I was just posting stuff, just like my own journey and trying to help people. And she reached out to me because she was seeing the results that, you know, that I was putting out for myself. And, also like all the knowledge I was putting out, and she wanted to become a client. So that's how like all of this kind of springboarded from there. And 2017 was when I took on my first one. So all of this has been, you know, 10 years or a little bit more of my own research, constantly like looking things up and experimenting things with my own training and that. And then also, you know, six years of actually coaching other individuals. So let's go ahead and dive into number one. Like the number one thing, one of the things, and this is in no particular order, like the first thing isn't necessarily the best thing, you know, that I mentioned on here. But I have them written on my phone too, so if I look down, that's why. But number one is needing to change workouts or do cardio to lose fat. When I was early on in my fitness journey, like in 2013, I thought that the best way to lose fat was to just add in a bunch of cardio into my routine. Like if I was doing, let's say 4 days a week of lifting, I was like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do two workouts a day and I'm going to do just four cardio workouts on top of that. And probably even do cardio on those, days that I wasn't lifting. So I was probably doing, you know, 4 days of lifting plus six, maybe 7 days of some kind of cardio. And I thought that was the best way to, like lose body fat and lose weight. And I did that. And I actually did, like lose, a significant amount of weight by doing that, but I also lost a lot of muscle mass, and the weight that I lost wasn't proportionate to the amount of fat that I lost. Like I could tell, like, yes, I was smaller. I, you know, fit in my clothes differently, but like when I took my shirt off, I still didn't have necessarily all the muscle definition or the muscle tone or shape that I wanted. And this is a big misconception that a lot of people have, is that they need to switch up their workouts. Like if they're doing more traditional lifting and resistance training, they're like, okay, I need to start doing high intensity cardio now because I'm going into a fat loss phase. Got to get my heart rate up, burn a bunch of calories that way. I need to do, you know, maybe run, you know, 3 miles multiple times a week to burn extra calories. And that's just not the case. Like it's not the case for a couple of reasons. One big one is that we don't burn like a ton of extra calories from our workouts. Like, yes, we do burn calories from moving around more, but it's not as much as you think. It's almost like, you know, if you had to save money and, you know, you could either, you know, just not go out to dinner. Like, let's say you go out to dinner once a week and, you know, you go out with your family and that bill ends up being, let's say, $200 with you, your significant other or partner, and then, you know, your kid, maybe two kids, depending on what you order, right? And this isn't even like a really huge fancy restaurant. This is just a regular restaurant with the way prices are now. But $200 a week, right, being used towards your dinner. And if you add that up, right, that's $800 a month you could be saving if you don't go to that dinner and you eat at home. But let's say you want to save money, and instead of doing that, instead of cutting out that dinner of, you know, $200 every single week, you decide to instead to try to save more money is to maybe work an extra hour at some local shop that's down the road, getting paid like 10 bucks an hour or something. Or, you know, that's how you try to make up that difference, right? So instead of making up the difference by just taking away that restaurant meal and saving money that way, you want to save more money by trying to make more money and work some very low, maybe low paying minimum wage job, where obviously like the minimum wage job in that scenario isn't the most efficient way to like create that difference to save money. Whereas taking away that restaurant meal is a much more efficient way. It's just one meal a week that you're changing and you're saving, you know, $200 versus getting a job that's paying you like an extra job on top of what you're already working, that's paying you 10 bucks an hour, and you have to work 20 extra hours to make up for that $200 restaurant bill. So it's kind of similar to like adding in extra cardio just to burn more calories versus just bringing your calories down. Like bringing your calories down is a better option in most cases, not all, because obviously there's a low end to where we don't want our calories to go below, but bringing down your calories is a much more efficient way to create the calorie deficit for a fat loss phase that we need versus just trying to add in a bunch of extra exercise on top of what we're already doing. Now, obviously, you want to make sure, you know, you build calories up, do a priming phase like we do with our clients before entering a fat loss phase. That way you respond in the best way and more efficiently. But in general, like bringing your calories down is far more efficient. Like you could just drop calories down by a couple hundred versus having to go into the gym and go for a mile run or a 2 mile run every single day to make up for those 200 calories. Whereas like bringing calories down by 200 doesn't, like it doesn't spend any extra time versus having to do that cardio. Not to mention like the extra stress that it can place on you doing that extra cardio. Plus like if that cardio, the recovery cost of that cardio is getting in the way of you, you know, progressing well in your lifting exercises that you're doing, like that could be another potential downside. So man, I was on a roll without coughing and there we go. That is one big thing that I've changed, is just like the idea that you have to add in cardio. So what you want to do when it comes to fat loss is have your resistance training program in place. That way you're able to maintain and keep the muscle that you have. So when you do lose weight, you're mostly losing body fat and not muscle mass. Because if you lose muscle mass as you lose weight, like you're not going to have that tone defined look that you want. And also there's negative health downsides of losing muscle. So have your resistance training program in there to keep muscle around, whether that's just 2 days a week, whether that's 3 days a week, whether that's 4 days a week. Have that in there. Then have a step count. Or maybe you don't do steps. Maybe you track, like, you could also track mileage walked. That's another way people do it. I typically do steps with clients, but you can do mileage as well. But track some kind of measurement that keeps track of your, like, light movement throughout the day. So how much you're just generally moving throughout the day that's low intensity, because we're trying to, like, burn more calories throughout our entire day versus just trying to jam in a bunch of this calorie burn in, like, 20 minutes in a run. Also, too, like I said, it's less stressful on your body to just walk, go on a couple of walks throughout the day that are low intensity. So it's not going to mess up your recovery. It's not going to eat into, like, as far as, like, burning muscle instead of fat for extra calories. It's not going to cause any other kind of detrimental side effects of just having overall too much physical stress on your body. So have your step goal along with your traditional resistance training. And then, depending on how many days of lifting or resistance training you're doing, maybe you can add in, you know, a day or two of doing some kind of cardio if you just really enjoy it. But I would really, like, encourage you, unless you really enjoy it or you're doing the cardio for the health benefits, because obviously there's a, you know, a lot of health benefits of just getting your heart rate up consistently. Like, don't do it just for the fact of burning extra calories, because, like I said, it's not that efficient of a way to burn additional calories. Thing number two that I've changed is that muscle groups should be worked just once per week. So that is something that I used to do when I first started my fitness journey. Really back in 2013, I would have, like, a leg day, a back day, a chest day, a shoulder day, and an arm day, and then just kind of repeat. And I separated everything into muscle groups. I even had, I think, a designated, maybe even like a bicep day, where literally that's all I was doing. And a lot of people do this with abs or core too. Like, they'll have just an ab day. And it's much better, instead of doing that, it's much better for progress to set it up in a way where you are hitting each muscle group roughly twice per week. Just because most muscles, like, if you're doing the amount of sets that's optimal for making progress, where you're not doing too little to where you're not getting as much of a stimulus, or you're not doing too much to where you're just, like, beating a dead horse and doing a bunch of extra sets once you've already gotten everything out of that exercise session, you're probably going to recover, you know, with an optimal number of sets. You're going to recover fully to be able to hit that muscle group again, usually within anywhere from 48 to 72 hours. It's usually around 72, but if you do have your number of sets a little bit on the low end, it could be closer to 48. But I would say most people, it's around 72 hours is a good ballpark. So if you hit legs on Monday, and like I said, you don't have a ton of extra sets in there that aren't really doing anything, you're maybe doing let's say maybe five sets of quads, five or six sets of quads, five or six sets of hamstrings, maybe a few sets of glutes, and you have it very balanced and not like a ton of what's called junk volume, which is just like a huge number of sets that aren't really doing a whole much after you've already exhausted the muscle for the most part. So if you have a good volume for your lower body day on Monday, you probably will be good to go to hit lower body day or hit those same muscle groups again on roughly Thursday. So if that's the case, right, we're able to get more productive sessions in by doing one session on Monday of lower body or that muscle group, and then hitting the other session of that muscle group on Thursday versus just having 1 day a week where we hit that muscle group. Because then you have those, that like last half of the week where you're recovered enough to actually hit the muscle group again, but you're not really doing anything about it. So you're not getting any extra like muscle stimulus or from being able to do that second session. So that's something else that I've changed, is you should be doing, hitting each muscle group on average about twice per week instead of just once per week. And some muscle groups with the right kind of programming where you're not doing too many sets, you actually can do some muscle groups even up to maybe three times per week and still see good progress. Usually that's a little excessive for most people depending on their goals, but definitely two times a week of hitting each muscle group is much better than one. And the research is pretty clear on that. Thing number three that I've changed is that I used to, back in like 2013, when If It Fits Your Macros and the tracking your calories, tracking macros thing became really big, I used to be really into trying to satisfy like all of my cravings every time I made a meal, especially if I was in a fat loss phase. So for example, like putting together like weird concoctions of like low calorie ice cream with chocolate chips with like sugar-free chocolate syrup or this or that. And then like for dinner, I would have all these other, you know, stuff that was thrown together that like really satisfied maybe my savory craving I was having, but were really low calorie. And I used to try to like really, okay, what's like, what are the most like sugar-free or this or that or fat-free options that I can eat throughout the whole entire day to make my food like have as high of a taste sensation as possible, but still low calorie to where, you know, I stayed within my fat loss goals. And that's how I approached like all my fat loss phases. And over the years, I've kind of learned that I think a little bit more of a balanced approach is maybe best. And what I mean by that is maybe not trying to make every single meal, especially in a fat loss phase, the most delicious meal you've ever had. Now, this might sound weird because you're like, why would I want to eat something that doesn't taste good? And I'm not saying to eat something that doesn't taste good. I'm just saying to maybe not try to make everything like the most delicious thing you've ever had in your entire life. For, you know, one of multiple reasons. One is it might lead you to choosing a lot of like highly processed or ultra processed quote unquote health foods, which is fine, but they overall like you don't want them to take the place of like having, you know, fruits and vegetables like the basics. Like you don't want to have the sugar-free ice cream and chocolate chips and that versus, you know, you could have like an apple, banana, and maybe some almonds to get your carbs and your fats in instead of that. Now, every once in a while, obviously perfectly fine to have that like sweet treat that satisfies that craving. But I'm talking every single day, trying to like, you know, follow this approach, like this literally the strict approach of quote unquote, literally if it fits your macros to where like, you know, I don't really care if I'm getting my fruits and vegetables in as long as I hit my macros, that's what matters. Like I think I've strayed a little bit more back to, okay, let's make sure I'm getting my fruits and vegetables into overall whole foods. And then, you know, have that flexibility to have those like sweet treats that are macro friendly in there, but them not dominate my whole entire food intake, if that makes sense. And another reason too is there is some research a little bit. It's not like necessarily conclusive, but there's a little bit of research behind like if you are constantly eating foods that are like have these really high taste sensations and they're really tasty all the time, even if they are quote unquote macro friendly, you probably will crave them more. So you'll want to eat more. So even though they're macro friendly, you're going to want to eat a higher or a bigger serving of those foods versus if you had a food that is more like a whole food, like an apple or almonds and things like that, and combine those together. The apple and almonds, while they might not taste as great as like, you know, the sugar-free ice cream and all those different concoctions, they might not taste as great, but they will probably fill you up more to where even after you've had a certain amount of calories of that food item, you might not be satisfied with the ice cream and the chocolate chips unless you have two servings. So like while per serving, the taste might taste really, really good, you might be like tempted to eat a higher portion size of those foods just because of how good they taste based on like the dopamine response we get when we, you know, eat super high tasty food. So that's kind of another reason why like, you know, making meals that taste extremely good, like where you like take a bite and you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever had. You know, those meals in a fat loss phase, if we're sacrificing like food quality to make those meals all the time, I think it can potentially have a little bit of a negative effect of you just being a little bit hungrier than if you had a meal that, yeah, this tastes good, but it's not like the most extravagant thing that you had, but it tastes good. It's good quality food. It's more whole foods. I think leaning towards that direction most of the time, not all the time. Like, you know, we got to have fun here and we got to enjoy our food like to the full sometimes too. But that's kind of a shift that I've made a little bit over the, you know, 10 years that I've been researching this and doing this. Thing number four that I've changed now is kind of based on a quote, or maybe not a quote, but on an idea of setting big goals. And if you fall short, you'll still achieve something, right? Like there's a saying that's like, shoot for the stars, because if you miss and fall short, at least you'll land among the moon or something like that. Or I don't know if that, some kind of saying like that, which basically means, you know, set a goal that's super high. That way, if you don't end up reaching it, you'll still achieve something pretty big. And I agree and disagree with this statement or quote in a couple of different reasons or a couple of different ways. One way that I disagree with it, let's start with that, I guess, is when it comes to your like basic daily tasks or habits, right? Like daily actions that you're trying to achieve. So for example, like if you're going to try to follow a workout program or even a nutrition plan, or like you have a calorie goal or a macronutrient goal, I don't think it's better to say, okay, I'm going to shoot for 5 days a week, or I'm going to commit to 5 days a week. And if I fall short and end up only getting three or maybe four, then it's okay. Like, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think what happens for a lot of people, if they don't have the right mindset, is they have this goal of 5 days and they fall short and only hit three or only hit four workouts, and they beat themselves up about it, or they stress out about it because they miss that fifth day. And then they feel like they have to make up for that fifth day somehow, like next week or a couple days later. And it just causes like this feeling of always like being behind and playing catch up. And I think the same thing goes for nutrition. If like, like when I start clients off, I usually start them with a calorie and a protein range. And I don't typically start them off with like full macros or carbon and fat range. And that's because I don't want us to aim for, hey, let's aim for all the macros, where maybe you'll get overwhelmed and only be able to hit your calorie goal and fall short on everything else and feel like you're failing. Like even though you're hitting your calorie goal, you feel like you're failing. I think there's power in setting a goal that's challenging, but nothing that's like extremely out there as far as like actual tasks to do throughout the day. That way you're able to accomplish that task, complete it, do it, and then start to build confidence along the way. Same thing goes when I give clients a step goal. Like if I want a client to be hitting roughly 10,000 steps per day, but the very first week they're only hitting 3,000 a day, I'm not going to give them the goal of 10,000 and think, oh, I'm going to give them 10,000. And then if they fall short and only hit like six or seven, you know, at least they hit six or seven, right? Because while that might be the case, right, they might hit six or seven and that overall is good, it's an improvement from three. From all the years I've worked with clients, a lot of clients, if that happens, even though they're improving, they still feel down on themselves because they didn't hit that initial goal that was set. And it leads to a downward spiral a lot of times. So I think when it comes to daily tasks and habits that you're and actions that you're taking every day, I don't think it's good to follow that mindset of let me put all this on my plate, and then if I only check off a few things, then that's okay. I think it's best to just pick a few things, basic things that you can actually do, and then hit those and then build momentum and then add to it over time if you know, feel confident with it. And the way I agree with this statement though is, or this concept is, more overarching like long-term goals. Like if I have a goal where, you know, I want to compete at nationals for a powerlifting meet and compete with some of the best lifters in the country. If I have that for my overarching goal that I'm going to achieve over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, but maybe I don't quite get there, but I fall a little bit short. Maybe I'm, you know, 50 pounds off from qualifying or something, but I still hit like, you know, this huge squat progression over the next 5 to 10 years. And my deadlift went up by another 100 pounds over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years and bench increased by that much. Like, then I'm falling a little bit short, but I'm still seeing a huge amount of progress. Same thing goes with like, if I have this, you know, long-term goal of, you know, maybe achieving a certain, you know, number on the scale or a certain amount of pounds down. And let's say over the next, you know, year, I would love to lose 40 pounds, but I end up losing 30 instead. Like, that's still a really good accomplishment. So I think when it's like, when that mindset is framed around hitting a certain like result over a long period of time, I think it can be good. Or another example of this too is like career or business wise. Like if you have a goal to, you know, make a certain amount of money by, you know, 2025, or you have a goal to get this certain promotion by 2025, but maybe you fell like one job position short, but you still moved up, you know, a few spots, or maybe you're, you know, the amount of money you brought in, your income or whatever, it didn't quite hit that goal, but it still improved, you know, quite a bit. I think that's totally fine. And I think that is a good mindset or mind frame to have around this, is thinking, like I said, long-term results and having this frame, okay, this is the long-term result I want to achieve or accomplishment. And if I fall a little bit short, then obviously like that's still really good progress versus having that mindset regarding like daily tasks and actions. So hopefully that distinction makes sense, but I think it's a really important one. And then number five, a fifth thing that I changed my mind on is this idea that to be successful with a weight loss or fat loss or fitness journey, we need to find what fits our lifestyle. And this one might ruffle some feathers, or it might be contrary to what you've maybe heard. I think there has been this big push, I don't know, for a long time of just like, you need to find the workout plan and the nutrition plan that fits your lifestyle and everything, which I think the like general meaning behind it, it's good because it, like I kind of mentioned before, it's kind of tied to actually point number four. It prevents you from trying to do some like crazy workout program that it's so unrealistic for you. Like if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to find a workout plan that fits my lifestyle or a nutrition plan that fits my lifestyle, and my lifestyle doesn't support going to the gym 5 days a week, so I'm going to go three, I'm going to commit to three, I think that's great. Or if like your lifestyle doesn't permit you or doesn't contribute to you like tracking all of your macros and everything, and instead you're going to take a more flexible approach in tracking just calories and protein, like that's great. But I think this idea that like there's a special plan that fits your lifestyle where you don't have to change anything about your current lifestyle to see results, I think that's flawed. And that's kind of where I've changed my mind over a little bit regarding things, is I don't talk a whole lot about, hey, find something that fits your lifestyle, because I don't want to give the impression off that there's some like magic formula where you don't have to change anything, or where nothing is going to be hard or nothing's going to be challenging, and you're still going to see the result you want. Because if you have a certain outcome right now that you're living with, like maybe let's say you're overweight or you're out of shape, or you don't like the body fat level you're at, or you don't like where your health is at, and you've lived a certain lifestyle to get to this point, if you don't change anything about that lifestyle that you're currently living, then you're not going to get a different result as far as your body composition, your you know, body fat level, your health, all of that. Like if nothing changes, then nothing changes, right? It's as simple as that. If nothing changes in your lifestyle, then nothing is going to change in terms of the result, the physical result that you have from that lifestyle. So that's kind of the fifth thing, is that you need to make some kind of change. And that change should be probably starting off something small. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you need to drastically overhaul your life, because you absolutely shouldn't. And I hope, you know, a lot of my clients that I work with feel that same way, that like I never push them to drastically overhaul their whole entire life. Like, we try to start as small as possible, but there is still some kind of change. Like, if you've never pulled out MyFitnessPal and you start to pull out MyFitnessPal and track your food, like that's a change. If you don't go to the gym at all right now and you get a Planet Fitness membership and you start going, that's a change. If you maybe only go once a week and it's very sporadic off and on and you're very inconsistent, but you start going 3 days a week and going consistently, that's a change. So like, and with that change, whenever we change our actions and behaviors, our lifestyle has to change. Like if you are living a lifestyle where you're drinking every day, partying every day, not being conscious of your food choices every day, not going to the gym at all, not going on walks, you know, not living a healthy lifestyle at all, but you start to then change these behaviors to live a healthy lifestyle because you want to lose body fat, like your lifestyle is changing, right? And it has to change. So you'll never 100% find something that 100% fits your lifestyle, but what you'll do is you'll change your lifestyle around what feels doable to you, but also that actually gets you the result you want. And it's those small changes to that lifestyle that you do make that yield like the long-term results that you get. So yeah, those are my five things that I've changed my mind on. I could probably make a list a lot longer than this too, but I thought this was really helpful and kind of cool to just come on here and riff about some of this stuff. So definitely let me know if anything like stuck out that was surprising to you or that you didn't expect me to say, or even like some of your opinions on some of these things that I brought up. Like, do you agree? Do you disagree? Are these some changes that maybe you've thought about in your own head too? So definitely let me know in the comments below, but appreciate you all. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday, and I will see you guys in the next one.